Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to our Christmas edition of Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. What you are about to hear is our Christmas edition of Basic Gospel. But remember, the Christmas story of the birth of Jesus was only the beginning. It was what happened after that event, after he was born, that made the difference for you and me and everyone who would come to him by grace through faith. So we focus not so much on the date, December 25th, but we celebrate his human birth and the incredible story that would follow. So with more on that, let's turn now to Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We do want to extend to all of our listeners today a very warm and joyous Merry Christmas. It is a special day. No one really knows the date that Jesus was actually born. We've adopted December 25th. We've been celebrating December 25th for many, many years, but no one really knows. But it doesn't matter, because we know that Christ came into this world. Christ became one of us. And so at this time of the year, we can celebrate that. And that is God's greatest gift to each and every one of us. When we ask God for something, and we all do, don't we?
Sure.
We all pray. We all are asking God to change our circumstances, to give us a new car, to give us a new job, to give us a better house, to find us a mate, whatever it might be. We're always asking for gifts from God, but there's one special gift that he gave to us, and that's without our asking, without any petition on our part. God just sent Jesus on our behalf, and that's the greatest gift. Jesus is the greatest gift we will ever receive. I know for me growing up, Christmas was just the greatest time of the year, and I could not wait until that Christmas morning. Of course, I already knew everything I was going to get that morning, because I snooped. As soon as the Christmas season started, the 1st of December, I started looking in every closet, behind every door, up in the attic, just to see, you know, what Mom and Dad got me for Christmas. And so when Christmas morning came, you know, it was no big surprise. I acted surprised, but I wanted to know. I wanted to make sure that what I was going to get was going to be exactly what I wanted to get. My sisters were the same way. When I got married, I found out Gina loved to snoop as well. And now that we have three kids, they're all snoopers.
Oh, boy.
They know pretty much every year what they're going to get on Christmas morning. Sometimes it takes a little bit of the surprise out of it, but never the joy.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that as far as Jesus Christ being God's Christmas gift to each and every one of us. You know, what if we had snooped, through the Old Testament, so to speak? What would we have discovered about this gift that was going to be given to us? And Richard, I know in the Old Testament there's some 300 different prophecies,
isn't there? And yet when you read a lot of them, you go, what does that mean? But there are some that are so specific in that just – they just blow off the page at you that something special is coming. And there are these hints, you know, the little crumbs that God drops all through the Old Testament. And there were some people who got it. And then there were those who didn't, but it was coming. It was coming.
And that's the sense of Advent, you know, the waiting, the expectation of something that's going to arrive. And that's what many churches celebrate, you know, the weeks up to Christmas, the Advent season. And then he arrives. And that's what it was from the Old Testament. There was this expectation of a Messiah. And, you know, God, as you said, dropped breadcrumbs throughout the Old Testament to give us clues as to what to look for.
Yes.
You know, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago as far as his birth in Bethlehem. I mean, that was prophesied by Micah some 700 years before the birth of Christ. So if somebody stood up and said, you know, I'm the Messiah, there's some questions that could be asked. Well, were you born in Bethlehem? Well, no, I wasn't. Then you failed the Messiah test, because Messiah was going to come from Bethlehem. It was prophesied. It was talked about. That was one of those breadcrumbs that was very, very clear. The virgin will be with child, will be conceived by the Holy Spirit. That's a prophecy from the Old Testament, again, some 700 years before Christ was born. There's another prophecy. David talked about it in the book of Psalms, and the writer of Hebrews shows its fulfillment. And it's one of those passages that you don't think of in terms of Christmas, but I think it's one of the best Christmas passages in all the Word of God. So the prophecy is in Psalm 40, verse 6. It says, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart." So that is a prophecy. You look at that and you sense something special about it. And then the writer of Hebrews jumps all over that as he's talking about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, as he's talking about how Christ's sacrifice was far superior to the blood that was shed through the old covenant, through the Mosaic covenant. That blood, the blood of bulls and goats, could never take away sin. Yet when Christ came, his sacrifice took away sin once and for all. And so in Hebrews chapter 10, the writer of Hebrews said this, "Therefore, when Christ came into the world," so he's going to bring back this prophecy out of the book of Psalms, and he's identifying the moment when Christ came into this world. We know that as the first Christmas morning, a time in Bethlehem. Shepherds were there. Joseph and Mary had gone there because Augustus Caesar had decreed a census, and they went to their home city, the city of David. We know wise men joined the scene some time later because they saw a star and they came to worship the one born King of the Jews. So we know it's that time that the writer of Hebrews is talking about when Christ came into the world. He said this, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me." Wow, what a Christmas message. What was the gift of God? It was a body that God had prepared so that Christ could inhabit it. And that Christmas morn, he inhabited the body God had prepared for him. What was that body prepared for? It was prepared to be an offering, a sin offering, so that we could stand without guilt, without blemish, spotless, blameless before God. That's why God prepared this body for Jesus. Mary wrapped that body in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger. The shepherds came and worshiped him. The wise men came and worshiped him. They knew something special was going to take place through this babe born in Bethlehem. Before Jesus was born, before Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem, the angel appeared to Joseph and said, "Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. She's with child, but it's conceived by the Holy Spirit. And when this babe is born into the world, you're to name him Jesus, because he is going to save his people from their sins." And we see that's the purpose of this body. It was through the shed blood of Christ, the body that was hung on a cross, that you and I go free from sin.
Yeah.
What a gift. An amazing gift. That's what we celebrate this Christmas season. It's not just the birth of a babe. It's what that babe represents, what that body represents. And so I think this is one of the most significant Christmas passages in all the Word of God, because it really gives some handles to the why of Jesus's birth, why he came into this world.
Absolutely. Well, this is a special edition, a special Christmas Day edition of Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, my name is Bob Davis, and we trust that you're having a blessed Christmas Day with family and friends, and we're delighted to be here to share more about the Christmas story with you on this special edition of Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. The writer of Hebrews goes on and he repeats this, and he says, "Sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made." It's an interesting statement, isn't it? The Mosaic Covenant. We know the Mosaic Covenant really in terms of the Ten Commandments, but there were some 613 other laws associated with the Mosaic Covenant, and there was this sacrificial system. And it was very detailed as to how the priests were to make these sacrifices, what animals were to be sacrificed. All the details were really enmeshed in that old covenant. And all of those sacrifices, they couldn't take away sin. They couldn't forgive people in the sense that Christ has forgiven us, but they were to foreshadow what Christ was going to accomplish through his death on the cross. So they had a purpose. God never desired those things. I mean, he created mankind perfectly without sin.
Right.
Sin came into the world, and it just messed things up. So it was never God's desire for sacrifices to have to be made, but they did. And then came Jesus, the once-for-all sacrifice, the one who would take away our sins. And he goes on to say, then he said, "Here I am, I have come to do your will." Why did Christ come into this world?
To do the Father's will.
To do the Father's will. What was the Father's will? For Jesus to take away the sins of the world. That was the will of the Father. So Jesus came into this world to do the will of his Father. He sets aside the first covenant to establish the second. So what is this Christmas story? It's a setting aside of the old covenant with all of its regulations that stood opposed to us and against us. He came into this world to set that aside and to establish the second covenant or the new covenant in his blood. That's part of this Christmas story. That's what Jesus came to do. And he goes on to say, and by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. What's the will of God the Father? That you and I stand holy in his presence. There's no way that we could achieve that through our accomplishments. There's no way that human effort could lift us up that ladder and make us ascend to that sacred place of holiness. Jesus Christ had to condescend to us. He had to become one of us. He had to inhabit that body that God had prepared for him so that we could be holy in his sight. Talk about a gift of grace. That is a gift of grace. The fact that you today can say that you are holy in the sight of God is a gift of grace. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. It was bestowed to you through Jesus Christ by his sacrifice, the sacrifice of that body that God had prepared for him. He made you holy. That's good news.
Yes, indeed.
You don't feel holy. You don't always act holy. You don't look in the mirror and say, wow, there's a holy guy. That's not the way it works. But the truth is the blood of Jesus has done something supernatural, miraculous to us that enables us to be holy in the sight of God. So if you are striving for holiness, if you are trying to set yourself apart, I know you're falling on your face. I know you feel distant. I know you feel like a failure in God's sight. Would you put that aside and open up this gift of holiness that God has for you in Jesus? His shed blood has made you holy. Receive it. Accept it. Be thankful for it. What a Christmas gift this sacred day.
Yeah, it's one of those things we sometimes get confused about is that I know I suffered from this. When I think of Jesus as the gift and his incarnation, you know, the day he was born, it was such a gift. And what I missed was that gift started being unwrapped there at his birth. And you can think of the Gospels as a page after page of unwrapping this gift until he dies. And you go, how is that good? But then he raises from the dead and all this glory. And then on Pentecost, the gift was given inside of us, this holiness, this relationship. And so that's why theologians call it the Christ event. It wasn't just becoming a baby in a manger. It wasn't just dying on the cross. It wasn't just rising from the dead and then going back to heaven. It was that whole thing, that whole gift was unwrapped by God, piece by piece, piece by piece. I'll bet he was more excited than any of the kids who were poking around.
No kidding. No kidding. I know as a dad, the things that I get for my kids, I just can't wait for them to open it.
Yeah.
I want to see the joy on their face. I want to see that smile. I want to see that excitement. And I know this year our kids opened some gifts, and Coleman opened one, and I was more excited to give that to him than he was to get it. And I'm just hoping he's going to let me use it sometime. But you know that's the Father's heart.
Yeah.
That he gives Jesus, and as we recognize the greatness of this gift and the wonder of this gift, it just brings excitement and joy to his face. And you know, we have to say it that way because we're humans.
Yeah,
and
that's all we can imagine.
That's what we know and imagine. But it talks about that every time someone comes to Christ in repentance, all of heaven rejoices. There's this mm-hmm. party. And so we get the sense of God's excitement to give Jesus to each and every one of us and to enable us to stand before him holy in his sight. But that's not the only gift we get, in Jesus. Jesus is the gift, and in him are all these incredible things. So there's this righteous standing, this holiness that we have in Christ. And then he says this, because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are the holy ones. So not only do we get holiness, perfection has come to us. Mm-hmm. And we stand before God holy and blameless in his sight. This idea of perfection is the sense of reaching that end goal,
yes.
Reaching the purpose that God had for us from the very beginning. I mean, God created Adam and Eve to live eternally, to have eternal fellowship with God, to enjoy his love, to experience life from the very get-go. Sin came into the world and changed that whole picture. And with sin came death. Adam and Eve died in the garden, and they passed that death on to each and every one of us. That wasn't our purpose. That wasn't our stated goal as far as God was concerned. Life was our stated goal, and that's what this gospel message really is all about. It's about life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ came into this world to take away our sins so that he could give us life. That's the good news story. And here we see that sacrifice of Jesus Christ is really the sacrifice that opened the door into life, into this stated purpose that God had for each and every one of us. So in Christ, not only do we receive the gift of holiness, we receive the gift of forgiveness, but we also receive life, his life, given to us in regeneration through new birth by the renewing of the Holy Spirit. That's the complete picture of salvation, and that's what we are ushered into as we receive this Christmas gift of Jesus Christ.
And it doesn't stop there.
No, it doesn't.
It's like we've become part of the gift because he's not done. I mean, there's going to be one final unveiling when Jesus comes back and the resurrection occurs and we all receive new bodies. I mean, imagine being part of the gift. And in a very real way, we are. Any child of God is empowered to offer himself as part of the gift to a family member or to a friend and to lead them to Jesus so that they can be part of the gift. And it just goes on and on and on if we would let it and quit getting all wrapped up in the numbers and in the process and all the rest of it. Just focus on Jesus and let that gift keep on giving.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's an amazing story. I know I was reading something recently, a pastor had written, he was talking about the gospel, and he said, for so many years, I simply looked at the gospel as the entry point to salvation. Mm-hmm. And once I was there, then the gospel kind of went away. That was for lost people, others
yes.
who had not come to Christ. Now we move away from the gospel into something else. And he said the Lord just really, you know, worked with him and reasoned with him and brought him to the point and said, no, the gospel is the whole story. Yeah. It's the beginning, it's the middle, it's the end. When you receive Christ, you're ushered in to that gospel story. You become a part of it. You take your place in the gospel story. And that's what life is all about, learning to live out the birth, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension of Christ in everyday life. That's why we talk about so often at Basic Gospel that it's a program that is bringing the gospel message to everyday life.
Yes.
You know, we have marriage issues. We struggle in relationships. We have difficulties being dads and moms and all of those sort of things. We struggle with finances. We struggle with jobs. We struggle with acceptance. We struggle with identity. We have emotions that get you know, out of kilter, and we don't know what to do. And the gospel has an answer in all of those. And as we start to give in to the gospel story on those particular issues, we see that it really is for marriage. We Yes. really see it is for being dads to your kids and moms to your kids. We really do see that it's for the everyday workplace. The gospel is life
Yes.
from start to finish. And that's what God really wants us to know about Jesus, that it wasn't just about a birth. It's about this whole life that we've gained entry into, that we've gained access into through faith in the one that God sent.
Yes.
It's an amazing story. Yeah, well, this is Basic Gospel, and we just pray that today has been a very special day for you as you have celebrated with your friends, with your family, the birth of Jesus Christ. Some of you out there today may feel alone, may be isolated. You may be hurting. You may be down because this isn't the joyous occasion that you want it to be. If that's you, know that God cares for you. Know that Jesus loves you. And know that this gift that God has offered to the world is available to you right now. Mm-hmm. If you have never come to Christ, will you do so today? Will you receive the greatest gift that you will ever receive in this lifetime, the life of Jesus Christ? Ye who were dead in transgressions and sins, today are you willing to come alive in Jesus? It'll be the greatest day of your life, and you will never, ever, ever see the Christmas story in this negative way ever, ever again. Yes. Receive that good news and let the joy of Christmas become yours.
Well, friends, the gift is still available. The offer is still good for everyone who hears, believes, and as a result, lives in the good news of Jesus Christ. And friends, when we ask you to give, that's what we're asking you to do. Help us connect with more and more people who desperately need to hear this good news of Jesus Christ. Bob, Richard, and I and the ministry staff at Basic Gospel are sharing this good news all across the continental United States and through new digital applications. The gospel through this ministry is being heard from Canada to Australia and all locations between. We're excited at the doors God is opening to reach new listeners, people who, as I said, desperately need to hear that the news is good, that it's about God's love in Jesus Christ, not condemnation. And if we're there, they can hear the truth of the new covenant from Basic Gospel. So right here, right now, friends, we ask you to go online to basicgospel.net and click donate to make a year-end gift to help take the message everywhere that it needs to go. This is a great time over this Christmas New Year's holiday to help make a difference in someone's life. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us for this Christmas edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to join us again tomorrow at the same time for Basic Gospel.